Hey everybody, welcome to It's Just Bodybuilding, episode 35. Me and Dusty Hanshaw. Let me redo that.
Jesus!
Hey everybody, welcome to It's Just Bodybuilding, episode 35. Of course, it's Dusty Hanshaw and myself, Ron Partlow. And on today's show, IPB Pro Chris Tuttle. Dusty, you're still chewing.
That second one was way better than the first. You fucking blew the first one. I think we should have both on there just so people know.
Right.
That you're not always flawless, just 99% of the time.
Sometimes I need two takes.
Yeah. You're just getting warm. It's all good. Well, you have two gyms on you right now, so it's a lot of pressure.
I
only got
one
gym.
Thank you. Always have I see you have the West Coast hat on a lot. I really appreciate that. Of course, I'm repping Dino's gym, and of course, our gym, West Coast Iron. Hats off to all the gyms trying to stay solvent right now with without being open. I've seen some very interesting strategies from all the different gyms, and you know, different business models to begin with, and they're all trying to float in a different way. And you know, some guys have been around for 20 years, so they've got a ton of assets. You know, maybe they even own their building or something like that. Uh-huh. So, you know, some gyms have, like, I know a guy who just opened a gym, or like Anth Bales, they just opened that new gym over there, you know?
Like a week.
A week. So, you know, you got those huge lease payments. And I know that everyone's, and some people are so clueless. They're like, oh, well, just, you can defer your payments. I mean, I saw the prime minister on TV just saying, we're going to defer this and defer that. And I'm like, you still have to pay it. Like a lot of landlords are telling people, yeah, you don't worry about rent for 2 months, but then you pay double rent for 2 months.
Yep.
Like landlords are doing that. And businesses are like, I can't pay you double rent. Like I can't pay you back in by September. Like we need to work this out, you know? So there's a lot of people having a hard time. Luckily we're doing good. We've got things pretty sorted out. We're, you know, we got a really strong support base and, you know, our landlord helping us a little cause we're just about to sign a new lease. So we kind of worked some things there
and
it's going to be an expensive 6 months, but we'll live. Right.
Yeah. Well, that's the magic, man. You guys will live and you've got, you know, I mean, I haven't been there and knowing your members, like they're in this with you. I mean, a lot of them are in this with you, you know?
Yeah. Our members are really helping us out. It's been incredible. So, I think our approach is just be honest with the members and let them know what the situation is and the reality of everything, you know?
Yep.
And it seems to work. You know, I think, you know, with social media now, I think any business is, if you can just be honest with them and upfront, you know, you see a lot of business owners on their social media now, and it really makes a difference. It connects you, you know, especially now that everyone's talking about supporting local and all that stuff.
Yep.
You know, maybe the local businesses, you know, maybe they'll really get stronger after they come out of this, the ones that make it.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so you want to bring Chris on?
Absolutely. Let's bring some brains in with this shit. What's up, man? How's things?
Good, man. You know, like, you know, I discussed with you before, it's not like much has changed too much. I don't really leave my house as it is.
Yeah.
Bodybuilders are very, we're just already distanced from all the preps we've done and all the times we've stepped into the box and closed the lid for 4-6 months, you know? And
the social life, it's like, I already don't have one.
Well, you guys work from home also 100% of the time, right? Just like me.
100%. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a game changer right there is when you don't leave at all. You know, the only difference for me right now is I'm like, this is cool. I don't have to say no to people when they ask me to do things.
That's what my wife said.
Except I've realized that I really need another hobby other than going out to eat.
Valid. You're like, shit, there's absolutely nothing to do now.
Jesus. Like, I realize now how many, you know, empty holes I've filled by just going out to eat, you know? And then I make fun of emotional eaters and I'm like, wait, I just realized.
You're a boredom eater. It's totally different.
I'm a boredom eater. Yeah. You know?
And not only that, the training situation's weird because, you know, it's like everybody's like, well, where are you training? where can I come train with you at your friend's house? And I was like, no, it's kind of like on the down low, you know, like, because everybody wants to jump in to where everybody else is training. It's kind of like a fight club, like secret society. You don't talk about fight club, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And then you see, like, you see certain people are posting from their secret gyms, and then you see, you know, other people have gone totally dark.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? So there's the different
strategies. I know the ones that all have them and the ones that don't. I think the key is if you own the gym, people just seem to forget, like, I'm completely allowed to do this.
Yeah. People ask me, they're like, are you going into West Coast to train? And I'm like, well, yeah, I'm an owner. Like, what the fuck? I got like a lot of money sitting in that room. I'm going to go use it. The only thing is, I'm not posting just because I almost feel bad.
Yeah, 100%. I 100% agree. It's like my training situation is pretty good. And it's like, I'm not going to be posting training videos being like, oh, look at this awesome hack squat. You know, like,
yeah,
it's just like, yeah, you know,
I post and I just tell people you should be here, but you can't.
Yeah. Dusty's got the personality for it. You know, yeah. I'd feel bad. You know, those people, they're like, 7 plate hacks for 10, never slow down, # no time off, # do what you got to do. And everyone else is like, I don't have $5,000 for a hack squat and a bunch of plates.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. It's like, man, like, you know, the whole gym situation, I know a lot of my clients who are really good friends with the owners, right? And the owner's like, hey, man, you can train you by yourself, but only you, right? Yeah. So other people catch wind of that. And then they call the police and they're like, so-and-so's training in there. They're training in there. And then they come and shut everything down, you know?
Yeah.
It's happening in New Jersey and New York. So I'm like, man, you can't even talk about it. It's like Fight Club. Like I said, don't talk about it.
Yeah. See, it's a little different where I live because they didn't actually force the gyms to close. They just made the social distancing so enforced that it made it impossible to run a gym.
Right.
Right. Well, unless you had one person at a time in there. Like, there's a couple of gyms that are still open here, but they're doing 10 people at a time and they're like 10,000 square feet. So you're operating at a loss anyways.
When you can't spot someone within
you can't
the rules.
Spot anyone, it's illegal to spot. Like, and the fire, yeah, like the fire guys even said to us when we were still open, they're like, you just can't have people spotting. And we're like, well, fuck, it's kind of the type of gym where that's how it works.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's not like,
you also can't use two pieces of equipment right next to each other.
Yeah, I got to close off 6 feet. Piece of equipment or remove equipment and all this bullshit. Like, they just made it impossible, right? Logistically impossible to manage. So, you know, we can be in there, like, there's nothing illegal about us being in there. It's just, yeah, you know, and we love all the members and we got so many friends and it would just get so crazy.
It's like the spotting thing. Some guy's on the bench and he's like, stuck in your spot. It's like, I can't help you. Just roll to your left. Roll to your left.
I can tell you what to do from here, but I can't fucking give up.
I saw a video the other day. It was like a home workout COVID gym fail. And the guy was benching 4 plates for a triple and he dropped it on his fucking neck.
Oh no.
And you could see the look in his eyes. He thought this is how it ends.
Yeah.
And he fucking squirmed out from underneath it. And I was like watching this video on my Instagram and I was like, oh, like I thought I was going to watch someone die on Instagram for the first time.
Dude's doing a live feed as he kills himself. Well,
you know what I thought about, which is like not good to think about. And I'm like, the other day I was like doing dumbbell rows and like, I got a weird sensation in my bicep. And I look at my wife, I'm like, if I tear my bicep, I probably won't be able to get surgery until like June. I go, that's it. Like, you're not getting surgery in a bicep tear. You're probably looking at me like, jackass, you shouldn't be training anyway. You know,
it's true. It's actually
about
true.
That. Yeah. We thought about that. I was working out the other day and I thought, man, you shouldn't be setting any PRs right now.
No, not the time for that shit.
That's 12 rep everything for a couple of weeks.
12 rep something you can do for 20.
Yeah.
That's freaking classic. So how's business ranking along? I know you and I already spoke about the fact that ours is a little bit weird, Chris, and it got worse, but
yeah, it did. Yeah. Business is fine. It's hard to know if we have a drop off or not because we coincidentally stopped taking on clients about like a month ago.
Right.
So like, we obviously saw a dip in that, but that was planned.
Right.
I mean, we're still having inquiries. And like you said, like, we just had a wave of everybody emailing, like, all at once, being like, we got to change the plan. We got to change the plan. No shows. This is all I have at home for exercise. I'm no longer walking around the showroom floor. So my sedentary, my steps are way down. I need to adjust everybody's plan. So for like a week, it was like 13-hour days every day, you know? Yeah. And then it slowed down. Finally, it's more everybody setting into the rhythm of what they have.
Yeah.
What they have at home. But it was pretty crazy for a while. I think if we do see a drop off, I think it might not be until like May or June.
Yeah, as people realize like their gyms maybe aren't opening back up. So
Yeah. Because I really don't foresee them being like, oh, May 20th. All right, everybody's back open. Motley Crue concert. You know, I think it's going to be like, all right, well, no large events greater than 40 people, you know, still exercise, social distancing. I still think there's going to be restrictions.
For sure.
Yeah. The 6-foot rule is the one thing that we need to go back to a fairly normal life. And I think that'll get lifted in the earlier part of the rollout because they have to get people back to like, you know, restaurants have to open and shit, right?
Right.
But the headcount, totally, there's going to be a headcount on things, which we should actually be okay because at our gym, like we got a huge gym and like, you know, our fire code and the amount of people we normally get are so far apart that even if they slashed our capacity, we'd still be fine. You know, whereas like some restaurants might be sitting with half the tables and they might still be kind of fucked, right?
Yeah.
So it's going to be weird when they start, but it's that 6-foot rule. As soon as they fucking drop that, everyone's training.
Yep. And a lot of people are going to be skittish too, you know?
Some are,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. They see a line out the door somewhere, like they're out of there, you know?
Yeah. So let's get into that. How precautionary are you? I know we talk about how we're home a lot, so we sort of feel like we don't have stress, you know? It's not like we're going to work with 400 people. But are you like an obsessive hand washer right now? Are you Lysoling all the doorknobs?
Dude, my life hasn't changed in that aspect at all because I've always been a germaphobe nut. I mean, this goes back to, this is a great story. Arnold Classic back in 2006, long story short, we're on the way to Arnold Classic. We get there. I didn't have deodorant. My buddy didn't have toothbrush. We go into CVS. I go into CVS and I get the stuff. I go to the counter and this chick behind the counter checked me out. Looked like she's about to die. Like she looked so sick. So I just put my shit down. I left. And my buddy's like, hey, man, where's my toothbrush? And I'm like, dude, I'm not going in there. That girl's sick. He's like, man, you're such a pussy. I'll go do it. So he goes in there, gets a toothbrush. I'm like, dude, did you wash your hands? He's like, shut up, man. Relax. So we go to the Arnold Classic, go the whole trip. The last day, he's like, man, I got a fever. And I'm like, dude, you fucking kidding me? I go, bro, you shared my drink last night. And he's like, dude, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. So 2 days later, he calls me. He's like, bro, I'm so sick. And I'm like, damn it, Paul. I go, I'm going to get sick. I got so sick, I was passing out and seizuring from my fever being so high. It was like 11 days. It was the worst 11 days of my life. So that happened. And then 2 months later, I ended up starting microbiology. Wonderful.
Yes.
Microbiology class in college. And we had to like swab things and swab mouths and hands and fingers and grow things on petri dishes. And that class just confirmed my life changed forever. And then from that point forward, I was like, I wash my hands constantly. I don't touch my face. And me working in the hospital, they train you that like how germs and bacteria spread from patient to patient. So one of the test drills they did when we were there is they put your hand in this like powder.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of the day, they come back and they shine a black light on your face. And some people looks like they look like this to their face. So like, luckily I had nothing on my face, maybe like on my chin. But it goes to show how many times people touch their face.
Yeah.
In a proper way to sneeze and blow your nose. So I've always been a nut about that anyway. And I already had N95 masks. Like, dude, I'm like a weird doomsday prepper as well. Like, I've been ready since 2015, you know? And when all this went down or started to go down, I know how people are. I knew this was going to happen. So, like, I went to the grocery store about 8 days prior to that huge hit, and that's got everything I needed for about a month. Because I knew it was going to happen. I knew right away. I'm like, it's going to happen any day moment. I'm just like, I'm going to go there, get all my stuff. And some of my friends are like, dude, relax. It's not the end of the world. And then like 5 days later, like, hey, man, do you have any extra chicken? Do you have any of this?
I doomsday prepped a little bit once, but it wasn't for COVID. It was Y2K.
Oh, yeah.
I remember I thought, what if my debit card doesn't work for a few days afterwards because all the banks are fucked up? Because that's what they were telling us, right? All the computer systems could, like, go crazy. And I wasn't, like, worried that it was the end of the world, but I thought there might be some technical problems for a while. So I was like,
cash.
I was like, fuck yeah. Well, I was, you know, I was working in the bar, so I had lots of greasy money anyways. But
don't
I
touch that shit. It's dirty.
But I went and I bought like a bunch of cases of, you know, the good tuna, the white tuna. You know, yeah. I bought a bunch of cases of tuna and some big bags of rice. And I just like prepped a little bit in case, you know, in case it was a weird month.
Yeah, but they're like, I tip them all the time. I'm like, people are like, oh, you're stressing yourself out. I'm like, dude, I'm not stressed at all. I'd rather just be prepared than not prepared. Just right. Like as being a bodybuilder, like for us, like, have we ever gone to a show and then worried about our food once we got there? No.
Yeah, no walking away.
I'd be like 10 days worth of food with me. Mm-hmm. And then I worry about other stuff when I get there. I'm like, my dad one time was like, he's like, dude, you already have like 7 days of food with you. What do you want to know where the grocery store is? I'm like, just in case something happens. I need to know where everything is. You know?
I know everyone's cupboard looks the same. I laugh because people come over to my house and they'll open up the cupboard and where I have like the sugar-free jam, there's 9 of them. They're like,
yeah.
When do you buy more? I'm like, when I'm down to 6.
Yeah. It's bodybuilding mentality. I do the same exact thing. It's like, oh, that's on sale? I'm like, oh, how many do you have? 40? I'll take all 40.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Yeah, I gotten some funny looks since this started because, you know, like, you know, I went to the butcher and I asked for, you know, my normal amount. And they're like, oh, we can't sell you that right now, you know, because they got the limits on things, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, fuck. And the one guy beside me, he's like, oh, stocking up. And I was like, no, that's my normal. That's my normal amount.
It's fucking Tuesday. This is what I think about Tuesday.
I do every week, you know. And I was going through the grocery store the other day, and I had like, I grabbed all the bags of green beans that were left because there was no other vegetables. And I was like, holy fuck. So I grabbed all of them, you know, and that girl at the counter is like, took all the green beans, didn't you? And I was like, yeah, but I need them. Like, it's normal.
It's just for me. It's fine.
Yeah.
I would have been like, well, nobody else wanted them. So, I mean, the only vegetable left. So I'll take it for the team.
That makes you a good person all of a sudden.
I'm just lucky that's my favorite one.
Like,
yeah, right.
So, Chris, what's the, I mean, I know you don't have a timeline. No one does. But the competitive plans, I see you growing and being leaner and growing and being, I hate you. But anyways, what's the thought process besides you don't know when, but I mean, you know, obviously you're strictly open now. I mean, there's no fucking way you can make it back down.
If I were going to project something accurately based on how everything's going, I would say spring 2021.
Yeah.
I want to diet from 270, you know, I don't want to diet from like, I'm 261 now. Like I want to be substantial. You know what I mean? I want to be very happy with what I have, but I still need to bring up some body parts on my body that have been lagging. And I just don't want to look like an ass on stage, you know? Right. So like, I want to make sure my back's a lot better. My back's always been my worst body part. And of course my knee injury has hindered me a lot. So my legs need to come up a lot too. So
I was going to ask you about your knees. I noticed you used the what was the electronic thing called again? The new
fit, yeah.
Yeah.
New fit. Yeah, I noticed you were doing stuff like that, and I noticed you. I was looking through your page. I thought I was following you, but I was following your coaching business.
Oh.
And then I realized I wasn't actually following you. I just anyways, I saw your video where you're doing the banded hacks and you were getting your knees going again. What's the status?
Honestly, man, I don't know. Genetically, I have bad knees in my family, right? Like, my grandfather had full knee replacements. He never bodybuilt. He never raced motocross. He ran marathons. My dad did run some marathons, but my dad needs both knee replacements. He never squatted. He never raced motocross. I raced motocross practically my entire life, and I remember my knees swelling even when I was 15, you know?
Right.
And I was a jackass for years lifting, trying to lift as much as I could, ignoring knee pain, wrapping my knees tighter, put on another plate, you know, and then long story short, over time and time, it finally, my left leg, the left leg that's slightly longer due to hip malalignment. I had a catastrophic injury where I had severe chondromalacia and I tore the left hamstring in the same leg years ago, which doesn't really help in the whole functionality of the structure of a squat or leg training.
Yeah.
But I mean, I already have arthritis in both my knees. So like, you know, every day my knees aching or pain. So I have to be very careful how I train legs. And obviously that's a huge limitation. I'm able to get them up in size from what they were, but I mean, squatting five plates or four plates or even three plates is never going to happen again.
Right.
It's just not. I have to use machines where I'm totally fixed, where I can keep my hips straight and go. But I mean, some weeks it's good and the next weeks it's not. You know, I told somebody the other day, they're like, oh, you're lifting much lighter weight this week on legs. And I'm like, listen, man, like the ability for me to train my legs is depending how I feel. Last week I'll get six plates on hack squat. This week I'm at three.
Right.
And it's all because of the way my knees feel. And that's my reality. So right. I've been doing everything I can to make that weight more difficult for my quad.
Mm-hmm.
Pauses, going 3 second on the negative, you know, using bands to alleviate the pressure on the bottom of the motion. Making sure I'm using consistent repetitions to fatigue the quad as much as I can. Really focusing in my mind on using my quad and not using my hips.
Yeah.
So doing everything I can to make lighter weight heavier.
Yeah.
But who knows? The heavier I'm getting, obviously my knees don't feel great, you know, because like they did 30 pounds ago. But,
right.
You know.
You carry it really, really. I mean, it's funny because you got bird bones. I mean, you've got like the smallest joints ever on top of it. So it's awesome to hear that that just the weight alone isn't making it drastically worse. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, you know, I've learned a lot because, you know, Dusty, it's like working from home and being on the computer. It's like your body gets very tight and dysfunctional, you know, and I never had so many injuries in my shoulders and my neck since I've been doing this for a living. So there's a lot of corrective exercises that I do to help counter those muscle imbalances that occur from the seated position, standing, or just plain simple being sedentary.
What do you do for your neck?
Well, neck, what I've done is I have a standing desk. The chair I'm sitting in now, I will sit for a little bit. And then I have a recliner that I kind of revolve between. Mm-hmm. But on the recliner, I just take a towel and I roll it up and I rest my head so it's neutral.
Yep.
So my head's like this. And I put the computer right in front of me so I don't have to reach and my head is rested. The only problem in that position is my hips start to bother me, so I have to move.
Yeah.
So then I'll go to the standing position for a couple hours and then back to the recliner, back to the chair. It's a disaster.
It's funny because my healer, as I call him, because he does everything, I'll go into his office and he's like, you were driving this weekend? I'm like, oh, yeah, I went to L.A. or whatever. Yeah, the problem with that is your right foot is always forward and your left foot is always back. And now your hips are off and you're apparently putting your right hand on the steering wheel a lot. And I'm like, Jesus. Like,
yeah.
You could see all of that by watching me do one squat. He's like, yeah, when you're driving, you need to move your hips back and forth. You need to move your arms back. I'm like,
yeah,
just because in a couple, I mean, we're talking about a 6-hour drive twice in a couple of days. He could see all of that when I came in. Cause I was like, man, I'm off. And it was just cause everything is twisted, you know?
And when it's twisted, your risk of injury is like quadruple.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And then just put 1,000 pounds on your back and, you know, go ahead.
Yeah. Done. Yep. 100%.
It's nuts that people don't think about that though. Cause I get a lot of that. Like, why do you go in to get your therapy so much when you don't need it? I'm like, I don't need it because I go in. Like,
right.
I need it if I don't go in, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, why do you clean your house if it's already clean? Well, I don't ever want it to be dirty.
Well, it's that typical mentality of I'll worry about it until the problem happens.
Right.
Instead of being like, well, maybe I need to do this to be preventative so I can keep progressing. People are always like, oh, I'll worry about it. Oh my God, I have a problem. What do I do? Well, how about we never have to have a problem and prevent it? I mean, think about it, Dusty. Like most of all our injuries and things we happen, it's like, it's the school of hard knocks. It's like, we may have been told, but we're like, I'm fine.
And that's then all not of a
sudden, yeah. And then it happens and we're like, ooh, maybe we need to rethink this again, you know?
Yeah.
And then you start to be like, well, I got to take much more thought and much more time into other things with preventative. And I think powerlifters, like the elite powerlifters, what they have to offer as far as mechanics, you know, proper, you know, preventing hip shift. And they have so much information that's usable for the bodybuilder.
Because
how many bodybuilders are just like, they can't press right, they can't do this right, can't do overhead movements, I can't do that, can't do this. It's because we get hurt, and then we go that exercise instead, and then we get hurt doing that exercise, we do that instead. And before you know it, we can't do anything except two exercises.
Right.
Because we're all messed up. Yeah, yeah, me too.
Well, it's funny because I learned that actually. I was out in Vegas. Brandon Allen was doing a 900-pound squat in knee sleeves, and I walk out and he was getting warm, and his wife had the had a band around his hips and was pulling it away, like pulling his hips to one side during his warm-ups, because he always is tight in one side. So during the warm-ups, they would do that to get his body adjusted to going correctly. And then they just dropped the band, and I had never even fucking heard of that. And he's like, this is every time.
Yeah, the fucked up thing, I've told Dusty about this, but with me, I have to like make sure my feet are perfectly even on the platform. Like I'm such, when it takes me 2 minutes to start my set, because I'm like looking at my feet and like getting them just right. I'm like counting the little bolts or the little rivets
from the edges. Is this fucking guy
gonna go or not? Yeah, and like, and, you know, people must think I'm like scared to start this set, but I'm just paranoid because when my feet look straight and I look straight on video, I feel crooked.
Yes, 100%.
And it's 100%. Fucking, it's like fighting your instincts to keep doing the reps properly because they don't feel straight. But then if I do a set and I think, fuck, that felt awesome, my training partner will be like, your one foot was an inch off to the side, or your heel moved, or like there was something that moved on me to make it feel straight. And I'm like, fuck, because I'm torn between the sets that feel good and the sets that are actually correct.
Let's not use the word torn.
It's so funny. I'm like that with pressing, like dumbbells. I press so slow. And then one day, I'm like, Lexia, can you come over and videotape this? She's like, is this for Instagram? I'm like, no, it's not for Instagram. I go, it's for me. I need to see something. So I do my heaviest set. And I'm like, man. She's like, what's the matter? I'm like, I feel like I'm fucking cockeyed. And I feel like I'm crooked. And I look at the set and I'm like, this is completely flawless. I'm like, I can't. If I saw somebody do that on Instagram, I'd be like, those are amazing repetitions. But like when I'm doing it, I feel completely all over the place.
Yeah, like one traps up and
it's
all fucked up. I know what you mean. I it's just because all the little fucking things wrong with me now. It's like there's every single muscle group has one side that has a problem compared to the other.
Yeah. My ART guy told me, he goes, what happens over time with especially lifting is, you know, without us knowing, we compensate constantly, right? To try to lift heavier weight than we can. And he goes, the problem with compensation over time, over years and years and years, is your brain starts to kind of route new pathways of firing fibers. You might have the medial delt firing 90% on one side and 70% on the other, but your supraspinatus is taking up too much on the right side than the left side. And then over time, all of a sudden, you tear your supraspinatus.
Yep.
And he goes, or why one shoulder pumps more than the other shoulder. You know, it's like, man, I wish I knew all this stuff when I was like 20, you know?
We would all feel a lot differently if we knew a lot of the shit we do now when we were 20.
I know. Oh my gosh.
For me, it was just add more weight and you'll be fine.
Yep.
Yeah. 100%. I remember I've seen a couple of like, you know, really smart guys, you know, not guys like me and Dusty, you know, real educated strength and conditioning guys. And they're talking about how novice lifters, it's really, really important to not train to failure as a novice, because the failure rep as a novice is the rep that's going to go off.
Yeah.
And you don't want to do anything but perfect reps, because you want to program your nervous system to execute perfectly only. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
And I was like, oh, fuck, I missed the boat on that, because I fucking I went ape shit right off day one, right?
But, of course.
But yeah, you know, with athletes, I mean, obviously guys like us, that's what we do. You know, we're 15, get in the gym and go crazy. But, you know, if it's an athlete, like an Olympic athlete, they would do it. But, you know, that's why the East Germans and stuff, they give a kid a broomstick and make them do power cleans for like 10 years before they put weight on it.
Yep.
You know, because they want those reps perfect. You know?
It's the same thing with like boxing. It's like if someone's going to teach you a right hook and a jab, like you're not going to learn to do that doing it as fast as you can.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be doing it slow form technique. And then over time you generate power. Yep. It's funny you said that. I went to a strength conditioning association, continuing education credits years ago, and there was an Olympic lifter, Olympic coach, who was talking about clean snatches, jerks, and such like that. And he had everybody raise their hand. He goes, how many people have been doing clean and jerks last 2 years, last 4 years, last 5 years, 8 years, 10 years. And he goes, how long do you think it takes for you to master the technique? You know? And then every got it wrong. And he goes, it takes you 5 years to master the technique. And he goes, another 5 years to figure out how much you can lift.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it makes perfect sense, actually, too.
I had a buddy who was on the Israeli Olympic lifting team at one point. And he said when he was three, he had a broomstick. And then it was like when he was five, he had a light bar. You know, like they put him like, boom, you start little. And, you know, it's not until they're 10 where they have like any kind of weight, you know. It's like part of their exercise regimen is just like power cleans and snatches. It's this part of movement they teach them, you know.
It's amazing at that point how much a movement will become so completely perfect without even thinking about it. Because you've done it so much.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I can't even do a power clean. I can't put a bar on my chest without my wrist breaking back.
Oh, I know.
I see the guys at the gym doing the Ollie front squats.
Yes.
With their elbows up over their head.
No.
Oh, fuck that.
No. That's when I first hired the tissue guy I have now, he was like, all right, well, do a squat for me. And there was a bar and I was like, well, put 225 on it. And he was like, what am I? It's the only way I can get down there is with 225. And he's like, we have a problem. If you need 225 pounds of squat, we have a fucking problem.
I need a total of 500 pounds of force to compress myself into a squat position.
But to piggyback on that, though, like Evan and I used to say the same thing. 135 squat set felt awkward.
Yep.
225 squat set felt very comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Right.
315 got more comfortable. And then as you get heavier, it gets more uncomfortable. But like you just feel so much more normal and natural in that 225 set, 315 set.
Yeah. When you're going because up I think you can't squats. Be – you have to do it right.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So like, cause if not, I mean, let's be honest, if 135 starts to put you on your toes, you don't, okay. You know what I mean? But 405 starts to put you on your toes, you're fucked.
Fucked.
Yeah. Like you've lost all of your power, you know, plus the order that your muscles are supposed to fire in. I didn't realize, my chiropractor told me that, when they were testing back in the day, like bodies and how muscles fire, it was one of the first times they were doing deads or maybe squats, I can't remember what it was, but muscles are supposed to fire in a particular order for it to work. And they happened to have a guy all wired up when he tore his hamstring. So they were able to see that because of an imbalance in his spine that was shifted, the muscles fired out of order and the hamstring got the weight at the wrong point and can't handle it and tore. So that's
incredible data right there.
Yeah. And it's funny because it was completely on accident that they got it, but then they were able to work backwards and be like, holy shit, that was because of his spine. Spine was off, threw the hips off, threw the muscle order off. So, I mean, I'm sitting there going, man, I'm glad I have 900 people on my team here keeping me in fucking order.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, guys? Scott here. I'm going to jump into this episode of It's Just Bodybuilding to shout out our great sponsor. So first of all, thanks for listening. And second, I promise to try to keep this short. Guys, TrueNutrition.com is a company that believes in creating a high-quality product and delivering it to you at a fair price. Everything is third-party tested. They have just about every protein powder there is under the sun. Plus, they have a ton of flavors. You can customize everything. Go to their website and check it out for yourself. Besides their great protein powders, they also have oatmeal blends, health supplements, performance supplements. I use their citrulline malate and their beta-alanine every day that I train. So check out their website. I promise you there's going to be something that you could use, something that you need. And guys, if you shop with them and you use our code ADVICES, it will get you a discount. And plus, it will help to support our programming. I know there's a lot of companies out there with a lot of codes. Well, guys, I can tell you that this directly supports ADVICES Radio Network and Think Big Bodybuilding Media so that we can keep doing what we're doing. I'm grateful to have a company like True Nutrition that we can believe in, and I'm grateful that True Nutrition believes in us.
I got a couple of good questions for you. You got some people that obviously know you a little bit. This guy's Thomas X-Frame Army. He asked me, Chris has talked about avoiding antioxidants around the workout. Is that just supplements or is it certain foods?
Supplements. You know, I know research has supported that, like, you know, if you're jacking yourself up with antioxidants pre and post-workout, you're kind of in some way or sense of form, the theory is you're hindering the inflammatory response. If you hinder the inflammatory response, therefore you might not have the same adaptation as you would, you know, normal, kind of like people loading up on NSAIDs, you know, constantly through around their training. But no, I honestly don't believe that you could even achieve that level of antioxidant just by eating blueberries. I mean, you're not going to eat like 2 pounds of blueberries post-workout to get 1,000 mg of vitamin C, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So it's more or less just the lines of supplements. But I don't by any means avoid foods that have antioxidants pre or post-workout. I just have the meal I want to have and that's it. But I don't sure as make it a point to load up on antioxidants to stop the free radical damage and inflammatory process.
Is there a window of time that you would insert between your workout and taking an antioxidant? Is it like, because I've heard people say that good inflammation is like a 3 to 5 hour window that you want to keep open.
I'm not familiar with that. I will never comment on something I don't know. I'm not familiar with that window at all.
So you know? Dusty and I have talked about this. I've said, Dusty said too, you always know when someone is a good expert and a good source of information when they're willing to say, I don't know.
I don't know.
that's a must, because if they know everything, you know they don't know shit.
Yeah, that's just crazy. Oh, yeah. We talk about that all the time. They have some crazy answer for everything.
So I got one too here that, and this is fun because it's actually stuff that I always look at on your page for as well, is how do you work backwards with someone or what supplements do you have them take if you're finding they're having digestive issues, gassiness, bloating, almost irregardless of what they're eating?
All right. So if you're saying that the diet on paper looks pretty good, as in it doesn't contain a lot of issues or foods that are harder to digest, what would
not
I do?
They're not eating 2 pounds of broccoli to every meal or anything like that.
Usually I have them ask about their history, because everybody has a history. Mm-hmm. Do you have a history of IBS, IBD? Have you used probiotics in the past with success? Because as we know, probiotics do not work for everybody.
No,
sometimes they work a little bit, sometimes they don't. They vary from brand to brand. Mm-hmm. Then I'd ask about digestive enzymes. Have you used digestive enzymes before? Where in the day are you having this gas will help me kind of come up with an idea of what I should start them on. So usually I start them on some sort of digestive enzyme, and usually I will tell them to buy like a moderately strong concoction of digestive enzymes and just take one tablet, right?
Right.
So like say if they have gas midday, I'm like, oh, how many meals have you had that by then? Oh, I had 3. Okay. So meal 2, take a digestive enzyme, avoid liquid with foods or limit the amount of liquid with foods and see if you feel any difference for 2 or 3 days.
Right.
And then, I feel much better. Oh, okay. Let's add digestive enzymes to meals 2, 4, and 6 to see if that fixes the problem. But this is the other thing, right? Is a lot of the knowledge and things I've learned to digestive is not from my school and master's and me having IBD, is also understanding that like when the body's under severe inflammation, your body sometimes can't tolerate the most common foods you normally tolerate.
Right.
And all of a sudden you're like, can't eat that, can't eat that, can't eat that. But it's weird because 4 months ago I was eating that.
Right.
Because if the body's inflamed, you're going to be post everything. Curcumin, 500 mg a day, twice a day, is unbelievable. I've had tremendous results with people of that. My clients who have Crohn's or ulcerative colitis have noticed a difference. I noticed a huge difference. In the digestive enzymes, I've flirted around probiotics and all these other digestive things, and nothing seems to be as consistent as curcumin in the digestive enzymes overall, personally, and with my clients that I've seen.
Nice.
Doesn't mean there's other things that don't work, you know?
I think that's key, you know, when you've got that balance of across the board, like you said. Because I mean, people who follow me know, they're like, man, I could never eat like that. I'm like, well, don't fucking eat like me. I digest everything. I don't have stomach problems. I don't have gas problems. I drink with every meal. Like, I break every rule there is, and it's fine. And then I have clients that we have to be so tight on, all the way down to like temperature of fluids. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, it's funny about the digestive thing. Like, I've learned myself is, you know, I mean, knock on wood, I have ulcerative colitis, and the worst it's been for prep North Americans, I was shitting blood and mucus 13 to 17 times a day. Holy. Like I would go 3 or 4 times in the workout and I would feel ill and sick. I couldn't tolerate anything. fast forward to now, knock on wood, I haven't had one sign or symptom in probably close to 8 months. And one thing that I've learned is what people do, which is a problem, is they look at their diet if they have digestive issues, and they eliminate all high-fiber foods. But if you eliminate all high-fiber foods, what are you eliminating? Prebiotics.
Yep.
That help feed the healthy gut flora.
Yep.
So weeks and weeks down the road, your gut flora starts to starve. Yeah. Now your ability to digest food greatly decreases even a little further. So now they start to have, man, I'm starting to have problems digesting this now. Now the digestive system's just rocked.
Right.
So, like, you know, at that point in time, I tell people, I'm like, man, like, I know your diet's just chicken, rice, oil, and rice products and nothing that supposedly it causes gas. But, like, you're going to have to slowly start working in prebiotic-rich foods slowly. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have a little gas at first, but over time it's going to get a little better. And you're going to be able to digest more and more and more, because majority of people in bodybuilding shouldn't be having all these digestive issues. Like,
right.
Why is most obese people, I wouldn't say, I can't say most, but why is people who are overweight who don't train, why aren't they suffering from all these digestive issues that we are?
Right.
They're eating tons of food all the time, you know?
Mm-hmm. Do you think?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I had a conversation with like an old school guy about this, and he was telling me, like, you know, when he was bodybuilding all through the 80s and early 90s, no one had gut problems. So do you think that like the other stuff we're doing, you know, just test doses what they normally are and all that sort of stuff, do you think that influences it with some of the people?
100%. I mean, as you guys know, it's like your digestive system is directly related to your sympathetic nervous system. Mm-hmm. So if your sympathetic nervous system is revved out constantly, you're going to develop more gas, more bloating, more likely to experience IBS or IBD-like symptoms. Anybody with IBS will always tell you, it's considered the nervous person's disease, right? Mm-hmm. Because they're always anxious. You'll never see a super calm, laid-back person with IBS. It just doesn't happen, right?
Right.
That's funny.
You know, because usually they're high anxiety. They're stressed out and revved out all the time. So, like, high androgenic compounds, halo, trend, and things like that, like back in the day when I would implement anything like that, when I was having a flare up, it would get worse right away because right. Your central nervous system gets stimulated. Your sympathetic nervous system goes up. Your body's kind of revved. Now sleep starts to hinder a little bit and your digestion's like, fuck you. And then it's just like a whole cyclic effect, you know?
Right.
But I mean, back to you saying the doses, I would say a lot of that. And I think people aren't just putting in the effort that they normally used to with the foods. Everybody's looking for the fastest route. Sloppy Joe mix, 80% ground beef and white rice, 8 times a day. Like,
yeah.
What are you doing with that? You know, that and D-ball. You know what I mean? Like,
hey, it worked for like years and years on me.
Yeah.
You know what it is, though, too, is I think if people get down to the really basics, I mean, I know we've all heard the whole, you know, if you go to the grocery store, if you only buy the things around the edges of the store, you'll be fine. It's everything that's in the aisles that's fucked.
I know. I don't know why Pop-Tarts aren't right by the potatoes.
This is another thing. Thanks for reminding me of that, is Stan Efferding talked about this, how vegetable oils specifically can cause some people to have a lot of issues. You there?
Yep. Okay. We got you.
Some people have a lot of digestive issues with soybean oils, canola oils, and things like that. Like for me, I have a couple of, you know, food items or food products that have a lot of those fats. I don't feel good. And right. I haven't had a lot of clients, but I had one client specifically. Every single time she would go out to eat, stomach was like pregnant, blowed up. I'm like, what did you eat? And then she tells me, like, on paper, that's not a problem. I'm like, restaurants always use cheap oils.
Yep.
They're not using good olive oil.
Yep.
And I go, do me a favor. I go, don't eat out at all, but have all these have all these problematic foods. And she's like, I don't have any problem. I'm like, it's the oils. I'm telling you, it's the oils. I go to Whole Foods and pick up something, some healthy foods from the whole food aisle of the buffet, which is all soaked in like vegetable oil, canola oil, soybean oil. Yeah. And then an hour later, she's like, oh, my stomach hurts so bad. I'm like, you're having an inflammatory response in your GI to those oils. Yeah. And those food products have all that oil in it.
Yeah, that's true. Ooh. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Stan's big on the anti-canola oil, isn't he?
Yeah, some people have they don't do well with that at all. And that's something that's overlooked a lot, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you don't think about it because at your house you don't have that shit.
Correct.
Yeah. Like, you know, I would never cook with that because it's not as good. I mean, my mother would kill me.
Okay, right. So a guy like you, you know, is, you know, thinking about oils, what do you spray the pan with anything when you cook?
Yeah,
egg whites?
What I do is, what I've learned to do is, which we should all do, instead of buying the stupid Pam sprays, which are a fortune, is I have a regular spray bottle and I fill it with macadamia nut oil.
Yep.
And then I'll spritz the pan lightly. Because one, it's cheaper. Two, it's a healthy fat and has a higher burn point.
Yeah. Yeah. You can heat it quite a bit before it smokes, right?
And it tastes so good, you know? Ah.
Where do you get, you know what? I've never even seen macadamia nut oil. I'm in Canada, though. I don't know. Maybe we don't do it.
Supplement stores, Whole Foods.
Huh. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Never had it before. I'll have to get a bottle. I know Dave used to talk about it. Palumbo was all
be careful. It. Once you have that, it's like...
What is it, $50 a bottle?
No, it's a little pricey, but I mean, I have like 2-3 cases of it. And I when I get done my last case, I'm like, Lexia, order 3 more cases.
Okay. Oh, can you Amazon it or what do you do?
We get it off, Dave has it on his website.
Okay. Dave Plumber. Although I think in our current times, I'll try to find a local business that has it.
Yeah.
No shit.
You know, try to be the good person. Yeah. So what about... I was going to ask you, what was the other one I had here? I got quite a few on you, dude.
Yeah, I like that. I can tell my followers that follow you based on the questions. I'm like, oh, they know.
Satriani Rocks asks, Satriani Rocks says, I'm an RN with ethical issues about resource or boost. Is there anything coming in the future? Does that question mean something to you? I don't quite get it.
Yes, resource. Is usually used for like clear liquid. Yeah, well, in hospital, you have different diets, right? So, for example, you have clear liquid, full liquid, or you advance to a regular diet. So, a lot of people have poor appetite in the hospitals. They're not getting enough protein or enough calories, so they use supplemental drinks.
Yeah.
And boost, or you might call Ensure. You ever heard Ensure?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, both. Yeah.
Ensure Plus, Ensure, and they have Glucerna, which is for diabetics, Boost Plus. Boost Plus just means they have more calories, a little more protein. And basically the nutritional shakes, 360 calories roughly on the plus, and I think about 15 grams of protein to help give that patient more calories. Now, to answer his question with it is like, is real food way better? Of course it is. But the bottom line is you have to look at what is realistic for that individual patient or person. Mm-hmm. Some people might come to me like, Chris, what's the best diet? And I'm like, well, the best diet is honestly the one you're going to follow. So let's talk about what you do now. Let's make changes from there in advance. Well, they're like, well, I don't want to eat fish. You can make me eat fish. I'm like, I'm not going to make you eat fish if you don't like fish, right?
Yeah.
Right. So when it comes to patients not being able to eat and using supplements to help them gain weight, if they need it, I think it's important. And then from that point moving forward, you would show them how to make better food so they like it. But I remember working in the hospital and thinking the same thing because generally those products they use in the hospitals don't have the best ingredients. Yeah. It's like maltodextrin. High fructose corn syrup in them, you know, anything to make it taste good to deliver calories for the patients to eat.
Yeah, soy protein.
In retrospect of somebody dying, you know, who needs extra calories and they have malabsorption issues, then it's the best bet for that particular time, unless you have some sort of better substitute. But there's definitely better substitutes out there. It's just the hospitals aren't going to foot that bill for, whole foods products that
they're not getting way isolate.
Right. I mean, think about it. Imagine approaching somebody off the street who's not a bodybuilder, who generally eats fast food, who's in the hospital, say they have cancer and they're not getting enough calories and you're trying to give them calories and you give them a protein shake. They're going to be like, this is disgusting. I'm not eating this.
Yep.
But Ensure tastes much better than a normal protein shake. So they'll probably can consume that or even add ice cream to it. And, paper, it's not the greatest, but if you look at what it's doing for that individual per case, it's probably ethically the best way to go about doing it at that point in time.
Yeah. Well, you nailed it. It's just like your clients. I mean, we all start the same way. Unless someone's diet is shit, I literally will tell them in their first email, don't freak out that you just paid me $250 and I sent you back a diet that looks almost exactly like what you were already doing.
I do that all the time.
We're going to get away from it. But if I can put you right to what I'm doing, you're not going to fucking do it.
Yeah, they're just going to fall off.
So this is a long game, but I always think about that when they get the first one. And they're like, where's my money? Like, this dude changed two things and sent it back to me.
Yeah. So it's funny. Yeah, as you guys know, I worked with the CETO back when I did New York Pro. And And I asked Jose and Evan to vouch for me. I'm like, hey, tell him I'm a good guy. Like, I'll follow whatever he says. I'm not going to question anything. I'll just follow it, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, Aceto's like, yeah, I'll take you on. Send me your diet. I sent him his, I sent him my diet, and I sent him the check. And the next day, he sends me the exact same diet back. And he goes, all right, you're good. Check in Friday. And I'm just like,
wait a minute.
Yeah, I know the deal. I'm like, okay, cool. No problem. You know, yeah. And I progress from there.
I did a diet yesterday. I actually got a new client the other day, and he sent me the diet he was on, and it was really good. So I just converted it to all the numbers I use. Like, yeah. He had it in like ounces, and I converted it to grams, and yeah. Then I just like made everything kind of my language and sent it back. And he's like, this is the same diet. And I was like, nope, it's my diet.
Yeah. Grams is way easier.
I couldn't read it before.
it had grams and ounces in it before, and I just I can't cross over.
You fell.
Grams is way better. I like grams way better. Yeah. People make less.
Randomly throws in a half a cup.
Yeah.
You're right. Smaller unit, right?
It's yeah. Like,
yeah. Exactly. I know what you mean.
You learn that anyways from going with all your clients overseas. Because when I first started, everything was in my brain was in ounces, so it was ounces. And then they would email me back and like, what is this? I'm like, well, fuck, Google, number one, but I'll do it.
Yeah. Or they measure it uncooked. I'm like, listen, we're measuring things cooked.
Yep.
Yes.
That's what we're going to do.
Yeah. I had a client one time. This was years ago when I used to use some ounces in my diet. And this is one of the reasons why I removed it. And she's like, man, you know, I'm doing pretty good, but that breakfast is really small. And I was like, oh, I was like, well, yeah, I mean, it's not huge. Right. So, you know, I keep working together. And like after several weeks, she's like, man, can I move some food into my breakfast? And I was like, okay. You know, what do you need? And she starts telling me, she's like, that the bowl of oatmeal is just so small.
Oh, she's mentioning it cooked.
No.
No?
She was a really nice girl, but she worked in the bar business, and she thought an ounce of oatmeal was a shot glass of oatmeal.
Oh, shit.
So she took two shot glasses of oatmeal and cooked it, because I said 2 ounces of oatmeal, which is like 2/3 of a cup. You should get like at least a bowl of oatmeal out of that, but she's getting a little tiny... Like
that's awesome. I would
have never thought of that. Tiny puddle of oatmeal.
I would have never thought of that.
Because she worked at the bar, so she's like 2 ounces, 2 ounces
her,
oatmeal. Scoop,
yeah, her brain goes, scoop. Yeah.
I don't actually have a shot glass in my house, so that would never happen.
It's like it's not two ounces of volume. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fucking awesome. I'm laughing because I can just imagine she's like
Dusty's gonna go make that right now and see how big of a bowl that is.
Well, the problem is my bowls are so big.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, here's one for you, which it kind of goes back to the digestion, but more important to get calories with poor digestion or under eat with good digestion?
Well, that's a tricky one. I mean, you don't need more calories if you're having poor digestion. Poor digestion is representation of inflammation. But if you're having malabsorption, that's going to be really determined by, are you having weight loss, eating the same amount of food every day and having weight loss, or feeling severely drained? Usually, honestly, if you have a huge inflammation going on in the gut, you actually back off calories to initiate bowel rest. Because you're not going to do more, because then your intestines are going to be like, what are you doing?
Right. Would you fast for a day?
In the hospital, if someone has a bad flare-up, they're NPO, nothing by mouth. So they usually will do 24 hours of nothing but IV fluids. Mm-hmm. That way, initiate the kickoff of the first rest. And then they'll do clear liquids, and then full liquids, dairy-free, and then progress as the diet goes on. But usually what I do, if somebody's really bad, I will cut their calories down, their carbs specifically. I'll leave proteins and fats the same and cut their carbs down a ton. And maybe even add a little fats back, more of oils and things like that, and whole eggs.
Right.
And to help them get some calories in for like 3 or 4 days. And usually they feel better right away. And then I'll slowly start to bring more carbs back in and so forth. Carbs are what people have problems with. I mean, you're not going to sit there and eat 4 tablespoons of peanut butter and be like, oh, I'm so gassy.
Yeah.
You eat a bunch of potatoes, your stomach's going to be like distended and gassy,
Yeah. Yeah, people make jokes about, you know, the old kind of stereotype, like bodybuilders and their protein farts, but it's actually your carb farts.
Protein doesn't the carbs. Ferment. Yeah,
100%. It's the carbs that cause all the problem. You know what I mean? My body handles white rice, oatmeal, and green beans with zero gas. Mm-hmm. Like, I can eat those all the time. But as soon as I throw potatoes or, you know, sugar, if I eat some sugar, then, like, it's like, just set the watch. And you'll know I had a tub of ice cream and a box of muffins, you know?
Yeah. The sugar just ferments in the GI tract and causes so much gas.
Yeah. And then broccoli and vegetables like that just kill people. And they don't think about it. Like, I know so many fitness people that eat bags of broccoli. My girlfriend used to love some of the worst vegetables, and she just had to cut them out because she couldn't take them anymore. But, you know, they'll eat Brussels sprouts and broccoli all the time. And, oh, my guts are so, and I'm like, you just got to stop, because they think they're healthy, right?
Right.
They're like, oh, they're healthy. They're green vegetables. I'm like, yeah, but you got to choose your vegetables. You know, what do you tell people?
I believe it on my plan. I actually have a note of acceptable vegetables and non-acceptable vegetables, because I get so sick and tired of going through the same conversation we're having now, figuring out that it's just broccoli and garlic salt. You know, it's like, stop using garlic salt. Stop using onion powder. Stop eating broccoli, because you know it is. A bodybuilder will be like, oh, I can have broccoli. Okay. I'm going to go to my BJ's or Costco and buy a 10-pound bag of broccoli. Then I'm going to eat broccoli every meal, all day, every day. Well, that's a problem. If it's Friday night and you're having broccoli at dinner at a steak restaurant, I don't care. Just don't have it on a repetitive basis, or you're going to have a problem. I mean, you know, like you said, people associate broccoli is great for you. Those vegetables are wonderful, but not if they're going to make you feel like that. I don't want to feel like that. You know, we're already bloated as it is, you know.
I think that's the funniest part about food and training, which is one of the questions we always get. It's like, if something hurts me, I don't need to ask an expert if I should do it again. Like, it's just very weird to me. Like, I eat something and I feel like shit. I'm like, okay, don't eat that anymore. Done. I don't care why. I just gone, you know, because I get that all the time, like with heavy skull crushers. The guy's like, those kill my elbows. How should I do them? I'm like, you shouldn't
do them.
don't do them. That's your body telling you to fuck off and stop doing these.
Yeah, that's a problem, I think, though, with like today. I'm sure it is like with many sports, is monkey see, monkey do. Oh, if he's further along than I am, I have to do exactly what he's doing. There's so much individuality to training and diet, much more than I would think it is to teach somebody to throw a punch or to teach somebody how to dribble a basketball. Like, there's so much more individuality, you know, structures, mechanics, digestion, genetics. You know, it's like, you have to use all your tools. You got to understand all the tools in the toolbox and be like, ah, 8-millimeter wrench does not work for me. I'm going to stay with a 10-millimeter wrench. And just talk that way. People need to hear you say you're doing it correctly.
Yeah.
Versus they can't, like, well, if it doesn't hurt and it's working, why ask the question, right?
Yep. Yeah, no, totally. That's why it's always a fun, because we do. I get that a lot with people, or, you know, the old everyone's famous, you know, do you have to squat to have big legs? And it's funny, I just heard Fuad a couple episodes ago on his show talk about, he had the same problem I did with squats. The way I was doing them my entire life, between that and hockey, right to my ass.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of how I was structurally squatting. I'm strong, but it wasn't doing shit for my quads.
Yeah.
So I just tossed them. I'm like, all right, we won't do those anymore. And I found things to put, you know, the emphasis where it needs to be. Yeah.
The dogma that surrounds nutritional strategies, drug protocols, and training, I think, is the number one cause what holds people back, period.
Like, true.
I have to run this because everybody says you have to run Halo the last 2 weeks. Everybody says you have to run this. I'm like, no, you don't have to do anything. You know, like, you just, I've done, every prep's been different, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a friend of mine one time. He was a golf pro for a long time. And he said to me, he goes, you know, golfers don't always, the best golfers in the world don't use the same clubs for every shot.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
It's like, you know, Tiger Woods might chip off out of a sand trap with one club, and another golf great might use another club, and they both might put it in. Right. And I was like, oh yeah, that's a good analogy.
It's a perfect explanation.
Yeah. And then just with the squat thing, like, One of my, you know, people say, if you could tell your younger self, this is kind of one of great next question for Chris, but as a bodybuilder, if you could tell your younger self something that would help them, you know, I think mine would be, don't be so stubborn with certain exercises. Cause I, when I was young, you know, 14 to, you know, in my mid 20s, there were certain things I just thought I had to do. And, you know, when now, once I got to the stage where I was like, you know what, I like squatting fourth. When I put squats fourth in my workout, they're an awesome exercise. But when I start with them, they fucking don't do anything for me and I just get hurt. Yeah, and right. If I would have learned that younger, it might have saved me a lot of wear and tear down the road. And what about you?
Mine is just, honestly, I mean, same thing with you guys. When you guys start, you guys are about my age, right? 36?
Yep.
Yeah. So like when we started, there was no coaches online. Like right. We were just trying to find the most knowledgeable person in our area to teach us.
Yeah.
Right. And some people are more fortunate than others. So like, given the resources that I had, I wish I really did more research on my own, because I really didn't have anybody good directing me correctly. Right. So like, I thought I had to deadlift. I didn't think a rounded back was a big deal for deadlift. You know what I mean? Like, right. So like, there's so many things I didn't do. And I used to train. I used to think you just had to train as heavy as you possibly could, no matter what. In that 6 to 10 rep range, no matter what.
Right.
Yeah. Like the whole philosophy of mind muscle connection. Are you working the movement or the muscle? Like I didn't comprehend that. It was just like that weight has to move 8 times.
Yeah.
You know,
totally. And if I'm the only one that touches it, it's fine. Then I did it.
And yeah. I just thought that if my form was good, it took care of everything, but there's still that feel.
Yeah. Right. And the other thing is listening to my body. Like, I raced motocross my whole life, so like I get like breaking my fingers and then duct taping them and then going out for the second moto, like just being like doing whatever it takes to win. Like I adopted that same type of mindset to bodybuilding. Like, oh, my knees hurt. Shit. Okay, I'll just ice them for 2 days and hopefully by next Tuesday they'll be ready for legs again. Right. And then legs come again. It's the same thing. Like, oh, that wasn't too bad. They only swelled the first day. Okay, great. All right, so next week I'll push a little harder. And it was just like ignoring every sign in the book.
Yeah. You know? Right.
I probably shouldn't be doing this, but don't think, just fucking do it. I'm going to do it. And just go and do it. And that's just not.
I think the problem is when you're younger, your body can deal with it. Even though you know what I mean? Because if you did that now, it'd be catastrophic. Something would explode across the room. Whereas when you're younger, your body's just kind of like, okay. Because I found what was interesting. I was pulling my adductor like weekly. For a while, like I would have an issue that I'd need 2 weeks off. I was going to the gym for legs for a while going, just don't get hurt today. That's all I would think of. I finally see a guy, takes through my whole body. Your right ankle's not bending.
Ankle mobility.
Yeah.
All of it was, and he's like, probably from skating. I was like, I haven't skated since I was 19. He goes, yeah, that's probably it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You're sitting there going, that he fixed my ankle, it was never a problem again.
No, what you just said too, it's like when you're young, you don't feel what the older people are telling you.
Yeah.
Like my dad used to say to me, all the bones I broke in racing motocross and concussions, and I start bodybuilding. And I remember I tore my hamstring once. I showed my dad. My dad looks at me. He goes, how old are you? Making a point. I'm like, I'm 26. He's like, let me tell you something, man. He goes, I'm a doctor. He goes, you're going to feel this one day. I'm like, Dad, I feel totally fine. I don't have any aches and pains. He goes, you're 26, dude. I go, just wait till you're 50. He said, you're not even gonna be able to move, you know? So I'm like, now looking back, I'm just like, crap, you know? Now when I call him, I'm like, Dad, my elbow's fucked up. And he's like, well, you know what happens, Chris, when you bring your car into the dealership and the mechanic says, and you ask your mechanic what's wrong with your car? He just goes, it's an old car. It's 200,000 miles. Like, there's nothing really like directly wrong with your car.
What do you want me to do?
Car. It's just an old car. And he goes, you just got old elbows, man. He goes, what do you expect? You ride that car hard, it ain't going to go 200,000 miles. It's going to go 50, you know?
I love your dad. He's so intelligent. He breaks it down to like the most basic thing. You're like, fuck. You can't even argue it. You're like, God damn it.
All the time. I'm like, Dad, I broke my arm again. He's like, all right, well, just don't move it. I'm like, yeah, obviously, I'm not going to move it.
That's just medical advice.
Yeah.
Don't move it.
Dad, my knees hurt. Well, stop squatting. I'm like, it's not really an option here. He's like, I know. All right. Come over. I'll take a look.
what type of doctor is your dad?
A GP, general practitioner.
Okay. So yeah. he's done everything.
Yeah. And he's an exceptional doctor. Like, he's from old school. He went to Harvard. I don't know what happened to me, but like, he's incredibly intelligent. He loves medicine. I mean, he's still practicing. He's 72.
Oh, wow.
He's still cranking like 60 hours a week because he loves it, you know?
Yeah.
But he's seen a lot, and he I get it from him, man. Like, he's a, like, if I asked him about steroids, you know, and he'd be like, well, I can tell you that taking drugs for off use label use is not really a good idea. He goes, but I can't tell you that you're going to die in 20 years. He goes, I have no idea. And right. I'm like, yeah, that's a good doctor right there. I mean, like,
that, you know, like, is a pretty good answer.
If you don't know, you don't know. He goes, I don't know. He goes, I can tell you, if you're sitting there taking extra Tylenol and it says take 4, you might have some problems down the road, you know?
Right. That's a fact.
Yeah. Attaching some logical sense to the things, you know?
Yeah. So are you not seeing your folks right now, or are you like?
Yeah, no. Yeah. My dad is old. He has asthma. He's still practicing. He was exposed to somebody with a COVID 3 weeks ago now, and they sent him home. So now he's just doing stuff from the computer. And my mom's somewhere else, another house by her beach house, and she's by herself. And she's, you know, my parents are really involved in like helping other people. So she's buying food and helping with the church and donating. And she my mom's like, obviously, I get my doomsday probably from my mom. So my mom had like 295 masks, and she's like, I brought them to the police officers. She goes, you know what they have to deal with on a daily basis with all these people running around? She goes, they need protection. So she's donating stuff to them and helping them. That's awesome. I haven't seen any of my family for probably 4 weeks now, maybe.
Yeah. I got an 80-year-old dad. He lives on Vancouver Island here, but they shut the ferries down. So I can't even go across the water to see him, but he's in his house, you know, chilling out by himself, watching World War II movies.
So, he's all set.
Yeah. So he'll survive. He'll survive the pandemic, you know. What about the gym you train at? Are you in touch with the owners? Or do you know what's the plan with that gym?
Oh, so, you know, I train at Powerhouse New Haven sometimes, but the main gym I train at is Universal Fitness in Waterbury. I like it because it has all the equipment that I need. It's not huge. And when I go, there's nobody there bugging me, you know?
Right.
And like, that's a big problem sometimes. It's like, you know, I go, if more people that know you at a gym, the more questions you're going to get asked, which is fine. But like, I'm there to train. I want to train. And like, and some of my clients might ask me questions. I can't be rude and be like, fuck off, you know?
Yeah. Right.
So like, I have to be polite, but like, I just choose to go to a gym where like, I can get the most effective workouts possible. And Nick, there's three owners, Nick, Mo, and Tony, and they're great to me. You know, they give me a lot of leeway, you know, and allow me to bring in cameras. And if we're going to do videos or photo shoots or whatever we need to do, and train, or he always asks me sometimes like equipment, like what equipment do you think is better? I'm like, oh, this is going to get good. You know, like, all right, get this one. But I love that gym. And that's where we're training at, you know.
How far are you from New Haven, the Powerhouse up there?
I'm exactly 25 minutes to both gyms.
Ah, okay, cool. So how far are you from Evan's house?
45 minutes.
Oh, okay. So he's kind of on the other side of Montanari Brothers then.
Yeah, so it's like if I'm here in the middle, Montanari's is here. My gym's over here and Evan's this way towards the shore.
Right. Straight up.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What's going on with Animal? Obviously they shut down all the trips, you know, we didn't go anywhere. We're not going to Body Power. We're not going to FIBO. We're not doing any of that stuff. They just kind of got you sitting pretty. Have you doing content for them or anything like that?
Oh yeah. Yeah. There's, you know, tons of content for the contract and whatnot. You know, doing the videos and stuff. It's hard. I mean, sometimes like you don't have a gym to regularly train at. I mean, I'm training at my friend's house now, here and there, but like, there's not a ton of training content you're going to do. So I did do a lot of, you know, what I do to prepare, but the bottom line is it's tough for me because I was already prepared, you know?
Right.
So like me talking about what I'm like, I have everything I need. Nothing's different. Right. Because I knew this was going to happen. So giving tips to the content of what I give my clients what to do if they can't find chicken, because obviously near the cities, everything's like empty shelf, you know, because most people in the cities are all eating out. Now that they're not eating out, they're going to be storming the grocery stores, you know, and stuff like that. But yeah, content, pictures, clothing.
Yeah.
All normal stuff.
How long do you think it'll be before we're back to, you know, like, do you think there's going to be an Olympia this year?
I honestly don't know. I mean, you know, there's, you know, all this conspiracy theorists are such wackos. Just looking at, like, if people, like, really understand and educate what's going on, like, you look at what countries have what number of cases, their death rate. If you look at, you study the 1918 Spanish flu, how many people died, how many people got it. And you look at how many flu cases we had in the United States from last year and how many death cases there were. And, like, if we let the coronavirus go and we did no restrictions, we would easily exceed 560,000 deaths before even the year's end.
Right.
If you compare the same numbers of flu cases and flu deaths, we had flu deaths, 38 to 45,000 flu deaths this year in the United States over 12 months. Now, if you take that same number of people who got sick with the flu and took the same amount of people with coronavirus got that number that high and you did the death rate percent, you're going to have an outrageous number. Right. Now, there's no vaccine for it, and it's going to come back in the winter. It's going to. So I honestly don't know. I mean, like, I know the curve in New York's flattening. It's going down. Our curve is not supposed to peak until, I think, 6 more days. I mean, who knows? I foresee things kind of opening back up. But, I mean, the fans, amateur competitors, sponsors, that's what drives the money, right?
Yep.
So it's like, you're going to just have competitions with just competitors?
That's saying, if you were the promoter, you'd be like, fuck off, I can't make any money.
Right, you're going to be in the hole. You're going to be massively
deep in the hole.
Deep in the hole. So who knows what's going to happen, man? I mean, I hope, like, you know, I know they're trying to get, you know, here they're trying to get testing kits, you know, enough for everybody come fall. So if you test yourself, you can be like, I can't, I'm not going out. So you don't spread it to other people. But I mean, who knows, man? Who knows? I mean, they can't keep everything shut down forever, because at what point is you're weighing the total deaths to a whole world economic crash? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's sad to think about, like, oh, deaths or economic crash or, you know?
Well, an economic
one
crash.
One will kill both.
Yeah.
I know. And I find most people are like you. They're reasonable. There's a problem. We have to deal with it, but we have to do our best to get back to normal life when we can.
Right.
And then you have Facebook right now. Holy shit.
Oh, I can't do it.
So it's Facebook's rough right now. There's not a lot worth reading on there. And then you have, obviously, the problem with Facebook is it seems like there's only two extreme ends of the conversation. There's like the people that think there's absolute, like, these crazy conspiracies. And then you have the people that are, you know, think that every single person who is outside should be put in jail. Like, you know, that far end of the spectrum.
Well, what gets me mad is, like, you know, rules are set out for a reason. Government sets rules so it could generally protect the whole society. Then you have people be like, well, I'm not doing what the government tells me to do. Government's trying to control me. And then the next election, they vote for more government, right?
Yeah.
But, like, if you compare other countries' rules to our rules in the United States, we're not even close to strict. As people in Australia, they're getting fined $1,300 if they leave their house. Yeah. You know, like, my client in Australia told me that a couple guys got caught playing video games together in their house. They all got fined $1,300. Like, if you do that in the United States, people would lose their mind. You know, oh my God, Trump's a dictator. Oh, we got to throw our arms in the streets. You know, it's just like, dude, this is for a reason. Like, I have a client that lost both their grandparents to the COVID. Like, I don't care. That's not the government doing that, dude. That's a virus.
Yeah.
That's your jackass in the street having block parties when this shit's going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We had a lot of that early on here. I remember when we talked about that. I have people from my gym who I knew, younger kids, you know, 25, 20, and I don't sleep. So at night, sometimes to help me sleep, I turn on stories and just lay there. And all of a sudden I see them like they're having a fucking house party.
House party.
They're sharing drinks. I'm like, what in the fuck is going on right now? Like you're literally drinking out of the same glass, face pictures with everyone's faces all jammed. I'm like, is this intentional?
See, I'm too germphobic to do that on any normal year. I'm not drinking out of someone else's glass. You know, I drank out of my training partner's water bottle like a month ago by accident. And I like took a drink and then I was like, ooh. And he looks at me and goes, you just drank out of my bottle. And I was like, oh, fuck. This was before COVID even hit. You know, I wasn't even worried. Yeah, it's a lot for me. You know, I'm the only time I'm not worried about germs is when I'm fucking.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't think anybody is, really.
You're not thinking at that point in life.
No.
I saw the best meme the other day. It was Van Damme, and he was catching a punch in Bloodsport.
Yeah, yeah.
And the guy was Bolo Young punching, you know, the muscular Asian guy from the movie. Yeah. And it said, you know, he's labeled as the COVID, and then Van Damme's fist is people who eat ass.
Did you guys ever hear Joe Rogan's description of what it's like to be a male with an erection?
No.
He goes, picture a bus driving down the highway. And he goes, and there's papers flying all around the bus. And you don't know who's driving the bus. You're in the back of the bus. And that thing is going crazy and windows are everywhere. Open. Windows are open and it's complete chaos. And he goes, then you finish and all of a sudden you're the driver of the bus. Being like, what just happened?
That's so accurate.
Yeah.
How did I get here? And then the shame hits.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, what just happened?
Then the shame hits. That's terrible. Yeah.
That might just be me. I don't know. Oh, man.
I feel no shame.
Well, it's been awesome having you on, man. That was perfect. We always like to end on a laugh, Dusty.
You timed that well. Chris, do you have what's your business website and stuff like that so we can make cheaper?
Yeah, the one I've been following.
All right. So just to let everybody know, I'm not accepting new clients right now. Okay. But you can inquire and I can, you know, put on the wait list and whatnot. That's fine. TotalNutrition.com is our website. We just started an app, Total Nutrition. And it's mainly for like a lot of people who are getting into lifting. It really covers all demographics. It's not specifically bodybuilding, the app. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just to be super clear. All right. I'm not going to give you advanced drop sets, reverse banded, whatever. That's not what the app's about.
What are they paying for then?
right. It's, you have to find out, it's cutthroat, deep science, extravagant diet practices. Oh, I'm just
kidding. Right.
Yeah.
No, that's good. Cause yeah, I mean, I think it is, you know, guys, make sure to jump on. I mean, I do follow your coaching page and stuff too. I think more people should, cause there is I think it's nice that you have both aspects, the bodybuilding side of you, the school side, and you meld them together really, really well. Cause oftentimes when I follow people who are one or the other, I tend to line them both up in the line of an idiot.
Yeah.
Because they can't cross over, you know what I mean? And understand that, yeah, I learned this in school, but it's a little gray in this area, or like in the opposite with bodybuilders. Like some people are just like, fuck science. And I'm like, well, it's a fact.
I'll tell you why. Because education for some people puts them in a box where they can't look outside the box. This is what the textbook says, that I memorized it. That's it. There's nothing outside that box. They're afraid of that box, right? And then you have the opposite. If they don't have the education, they just make up shit. Or they just go with
emotional,
it.
Emotional decisions.
They believe everything, you know? Mm-hmm. For me, education's made me able to sift through the bullshit.
Right.
Sift through, like, people show me studies. Oh, I can't take fish oil anymore because the study came out. And look at the study. I'm like, it's the most bogus study I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I go, 10 70-year-old people.
Yeah, like, I mean, the sample size is 8 people and they all had pre-existing cancer. Like, what? Come on. So like that, it's really helped me the most kind of look at things being like, yeah, that's definitely not correct.
Right.
You know, and like you said, Jesse, there's in nutrition, there's a huge gray area.
Yep.
Like there really isn't black and white. I hate people say, hey, Chris, what do you think best diet, keto or carb cycling? I'm like, that's like saying there's only one way to get up Mount Everest. Like,
yep.
You can't answer that. Anybody who says one way or the other, I just, like you said, Dusty, before, it's like, I just dismiss them. Like, this person's a moron.
Yep.
If you think, well, there's only one way of going about something, you know?
Yep. For sure. No, that's good though. Cause yeah, we like to do that. Is I'm trying to get people to follow more. And I mean, same with my clients, like I direct them to pages that don't always go the route that I go. Cause I want them to kind of see, you know, and have some thoughts of their own as well. You know what I mean? Cause you know, at the end of the day, we all have our within line, our start point, you know what I mean? Yeah. And then it veers off with the individual. So
yeah,
make sure you guys are following, because I think this would be good. And then as this kind of moves forward, we want to get you on for some more stuff, because I'm sure I'm about to get it blown up with questions.
Oh, I know. When I did a podcast with a Fuad, I think I had like 87 emails like in the next like 72 hours.
Yep.
And I had absurd amount of numbers on Instagram asking all these questions. Hey, what's the best rep range for hypertrophy? What should I do for this? And I'm like, oh my Lord. I'm like, I can't even answer these questions, because you can't answer that, you know?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, man. We really appreciate coming on
and buddy.
Staying safe in your house and sneaking in your training. Don't tell anybody.
All right, guys. I appreciate it.
No doubt.
You bet. See thanks, Chris.
All right. Bye.
There he goes.
There you go. How you doing, buddy?
Awesome. Man, I was stoked to have him. Yeah. Cause that was, he covered a lot of the things that, that I actually will hit him up for from time to time as well, because he does have like such an extreme depth of knowledge on. I'll hit walls occasionally with people on that are just have wacky digestion things, and I think I want to believe there's something I'm not seeing.
Right.
And oftentimes you find out now.
Yeah.
It's just this. You know what I mean?
The thing with the gut stuff is, you know, there's a few people that I follow that are they're almost overly technical about the gut stuff to the point where I can't quite take it.
Right.
I'm like, oh fuck. I just read this whole guy's thing and I still don't know what to do.
Right. Exactly.
but Chris has a great way of like making it simple, strip away the bullshit. It's probably this. Check this. And so I've listened to him talk about, you know, health, gut health before, and it's very good information. Cause you know how there's a lot of information that just isn't useful, even though it's extremely correct.
Yep.
But this, it's so complicated. Most people can't implement it.
Well, that's the thing is, you know, that's how they say you're not an expert unless you can explain something to a 5-year-old. And that's literally me, the 5-year-old. Right. And that's what Chris does.
Yes.
You know, he breaks it down super simple. And like I said, in the last episode, funny that we got him on now is, he's the only coach I write, training for. Because we're so in line with the nutrition side,
right?
All I ask the clients to do is let me see what they're eating, so I can write their training around his food.
Right, right, right.
You know what I mean? But other than that, like, it doesn't matter, because I know it's got a very similar style. You know, which is funny too, because you start to look at it's interesting. I've seen your diets, I've seen Jose's, I've seen Chris's and Chris Aceto's, and they all start to look, you know, within reason. Pretty close.
Yeah. There's nothing magic about how it looks on paper.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I was going to ask you, selfishly driving topics so that we could chat about things I want to talk about.
Yes.
I was going to ask you, is there anything you're doing, to try to maybe add some positivity to your day? You know, just something small, anything that you found that is, you know, kind of an, you know, like I was reading too much COVID news, right?
Mm-hmm.
I got to spend less time reading this stuff and more time doing other things, even if it's on social media.
Right.
So is there anything that you've taken to or?
Yeah. There's a couple things. It's funny, but, you know, as I pretty publicly, I don't sleep. And coincidentally, I started talking to a girl off of, social media who, I jokingly call my witch friend, because she's into the meditation and the crystals and all these things. And she convinced me to start doing some like just basic shit to like relax.
Right. Right.
And it's crazy. Like, so every day, I take the dogs out back and I got this huge grass area and I literally just chill in the grass and let them do whatever the fuck they want for like 30 minutes. Cause the weather's always awesome. And literally during that time, I will essentially decide what my day is going to be. Now, it used to be very much bullet points. I need to do this. I need to do this. I need to do this. And now it's more, positive accomplishment things I'm going to get done, what the day is going to be like, what the training is going to be like, but not so much like, you know, 585 for eight, more like how my body's going to move. And it's crazy. I started doing that and I noticed a little bit. So then I was like, hey, I don't sleep. What do you got for that? So sent me down another path, started doing, she sent me like literally like a follow along medication guide. Did it for a couple days. My brain was couldn't do
it.
Did
you say medication or meditation?
I did a little bit of both. I medicate nightly already, but no. And then all of a sudden it started working. I mean, this sounds funny, but I'll sleep for like 3 hours straight, which for me is absurd. And it's just funny. So I've kind of what the positive change, the overall is I've just kind of let go. Like in general. So like when I'm out back, like, as I've mentioned before, I live in an area where it's a bunch of retired people who come down here in the winter and then they disappear. And right now they're all older. So when I'm out back, it's just me. Yeah. And it's funny because it allows me to just chill and like slow down. And I'm not really concerned about, I don't read the COVID stuff anymore because I just have realized it is what it fucking is. I refuse to follow anybody who jumps. Like, you know, you said people are on one end of the spectrum or the other. When I know who they are, I just skip past them, or some of them I've actually hidden their stuff so I don't see it. Everything's just been solid. And then, you know, even with clients, like everyone's touched base. Those who needed to step away for financial reasons, they did. Or if they just needed some time, I was like, fuck it, just stay. You know, we'll figure that out later. And I guess everything has just been on a positive up. So I think a lot of people like you are even promoting trying to be more positive intentionally. Like,
right.
Let's stop with the end of the world bullshit and start thinking like, okay, but what do we have? Like, you know, when I go to the gym right now and I talk to people who are not, I think a lot of people have realized how important that was to them, so much more than they even realized. Like, so the appreciation for it is through the roof. You know, I used to just go to the gym because it was always there. You don't think about the fact that one day you might not be allowed.
Yeah, it's definitely something. Yeah, I know a lot of people are really shocked at what removing that gym time has done to them. And they're trying to find a way to deal with it. And, you know, I'm just so fortunate I can still train. Like, I don't even like telling people I can still train. You know,
I mean, think it's across the board, right, though? I mean, yeah. I've never had a moment in my life, thankfully, that I might not be able to get the food I want.
Right.
So I'm literally finding myself like, I feel like lucky every time I make a fucking meal.
Yeah, I know what you mean, man.
Because I have the meal I'm supposed to eat. And I don't know, I hope that all of us try our best. Number one, when everybody keeps saying when things get back to normal, they're never going back to normal. We will never see that again. But when it goes back to our new normal, our new comfortable, I hope that those of us who've experienced this remember it and then do our best to pass it down, because it was that scary to be like, holy fuck, like what if a person who has the financial means and everything still can't get what they need?
Yeah. Yeah, like, you know what I mean? You don't ever, I know there was a lot of, you know, this could go badly. I'm pretty positive we're going to get through this. And I don't think the new normal is going to be terrible. I think the new normal is going to be quite normal, but we might not be shaking hands anymore.
I think the new normal will be better.
The new normal might just be that there's no concerts for a year.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think our lives are going to be ruined or anything. I think everyone understands we have to also, when it's time to go back, I think there's going to be a movement to encourage people to go back, because we need that as well. There's going to be hashtags like hug a friend and, like, you know what I mean? Like that sort of shit. Like we're going to have to make ourselves get back on the horse.
Yeah, so, I had that today, actually. Yeah. I went into the grocery store, and one of the ladies who I know from my condos, her husband was with her. I've never met him before. It was that awkward thing where I was like,
hey.
I literally go to him, I go, I know we would usually shake hands, but I don't think we're supposed to. Because I felt like a child that didn't know what to do, because you can't. But when you grew up that way, I mean, dude, I've been shaking hands since I could walk. Like my dad taught me, like, you're going to talk to an adult, you talk to an adult. So it's like, when you realize, like, holy shit.
I had an awkward moment. I saw an old friend, and she's been in a really bad car accident. So she was like in the hospital for a long time, and mm-hmm. she was like really, really hurt. Like, she broke her back and all this shit. And she dropped by the gym to grab a hoodie the other day. Mm-hmm. Cause you know, a lot of people are coming by the gym to buy hoodies because they want to support the gym. Right. It's been awesome.
That's awesome.
So she's like, I'm back, you know, I'm back in town. I'm going to drive up and come. And I like saw her at the door and like, hey, and like, I didn't like, normally I would give her a hug. Hello.
Right.
But I didn't. And then it was like weird. Cause I was like, hey, and then she kind of went like, hey, and it was like this just weird thing that just like, you know what I mean?
But you know, what's happened to the other person too.
Yeah.
Because yeah.
I'm a bit of a hugger too, right? Like that's just yeah. how I am. You know, I'm that age group where, you know, I haven't seen someone for a while. It's like, hey, you know, fucking give him a hug. But it's just kind of, that'll be an adjustment.
Yeah, for sure. So that's gonna be very hard for some of us who that's how you grew up. I mean, you know, cause living here, especially with the Spanish culture, like if you went to your friend's house, you found mom, gave her a hug, found yeah. grandma, gave her like,
and
you
don't a kiss.
Walk in and leave unseen, even if everyone's gone. Like if they're in their rooms or out back, you fucking find them.
Yeah.
Or you're a prick. Yeah, like, yeah, I know what you they mean. Will call your ass out the next time you're over. That's for damn sure. So yeah, yeah. It's definitely weird. But what about you? What are your tweaks you're doing?
Well, I normally get really annoyed when people include me in, well, not really annoyed. I'm not a dick, but I normally like, you know, when people include you in those challenges.
Yeah.
Like, ah, shit, I don't want to post for 10 days straight. I don't want to post for 20 days straight. But I'm a music guy, and I got hit with two challenges.
I think I saw one of them, like the
and they're like, they're fun for me. I'm like, oh, this is actually fun. So one of them was on Facebook, and the challenge I got hit was posting 10 album covers in 10 days. Mm-hmm. They're not necessarily your favorite albums. They're albums that shaped you.
Right.
No explanation. You can't explain them. You just have to post the cover.
Right.
And just nominate someone else.
Right.
So I'm up to day three now. But I thought, well, what are my 10 albums going to be? Because it's 10 albums that shaped you, right? Like affected you and changed you
right.
and kind yeah, of set yeah. you off in a direction. And I'm like, that's not your favorite albums. It's not your best albums.
Yeah.
But they're key, right?
Yeah.
So I started making a list. I wound up with 22 records.
No shit.
And I was like, fuck, I got to pick 10 of these? How the fuck am I going to do this? You know, so it's funny because I'm I'm the type of guy that puts too much thought into that stuff.
Yeah, other people you want to like, do right.
Yeah. Other people are like, oh, yeah, that album's on there. And they throw it up. But I'm like, no, man, it's got to be right. You know, I don't want to. It's got to be right. You know, it says something
representing
about
your life.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I've got this this list that I've actually been like I look at it once in a while. I've got all the covers downloaded in my photo app.
You're going to get IBS ready. Just so you know.
Every once in a while, like, yeah. So like three times yesterday, I was like, okay, I got 22 records here. I have to get this down a few today. I have to get this down. So I eliminated two.
I'm not like, going to sleep till I'm at 18, motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, it's funny, but it's been really fun because also a couple of the records I had forgot about.
Right.
And they popped in my head. I'm like, holy shit, that record was hugely important because I listened to it like a thousand times when I was like 13 years old.
Right.
So that's definitely got to be on the list.
Yeah, you know what I mean? The ones like Nirvana when Kurt Cobain killed himself and stuff. Cause that like for my era, that rocked.
Right. Yeah.
50% of everyone I knew, you know what I mean?
I've got a Nirvana record on my list too, you know, right. But it's tricky because you know, I don't want it to just be my favorite albums or all my high school shit. I want it to kind of span.
Right.
So, you know, I got a couple surprises I might put up there. I'm getting good feedback too. It's fun, right? Cause like my yeah. high school buddies are like, holy fuck, you know, and then, you know, and it's been kind of fun. And then the other one was on Instagram. It was, you're posting a song on your story every day, but there's like a 30-day challenge.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, the first one was a song with a number in the title.
Right.
The second one was, yeah, I can't. A song that makes you think about summer or something like that.
Right.
And so that's kind of fun for me because I'm a music guy, and I love it when someone hears something that I'm into and then they decide they like it. That's like a huge reward for me. So right. I'm getting messages from people. You know, like I posted an album cover the other day and I got a few messages. They're like, "Holy fuck! You know, I never really gave this album a shot, but I've been listening to it all day."
Right. No, you know, I get that though, because I like those kind. Like I've been tagged in some, you know, push-up challenge. I'm like, why the fuck would I do that?
Right.
Like, I don't mean to be a prick, but it's like, I just don't, it just seems weird to me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, pick your nose challenge. Like, why the fuck?
I would do it, but I just trained chest yesterday, so I'm not doing a push-up challenge.
So I just ignore if I don't want to do it. I'm like, you know what I mean? And I don't mean to be a prick, but just one of those things. Or George, he posted a picture, and I liked it. I don't know what the fuck the picture was, but whatever. And he said, oh, sorry to do this to you, but anybody who likes this picture now has to post a picture where they look weird. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. I don't even answer. I'm just like, okay, no.
Yeah.
It's funny because, you know, I just don't mind skipping. But like something like that, I totally get it because I like or I have some people that will do like a Q&A and they're like, not in the industry. So I like to ask them like fucking deep questions to like get into their psyche. Cause then I hear their answer back and I'm like, God, this is why I like this person so much.
So I woke up this morning and I got, a couple people sent me this. It's a screen recording of Chris Aceto's live the other day.
Oh shit.
And I'm going to play it.
All right.
Because, okay. I'm going to play it here. Let me sort this out. Someone at my friend Val. I don't know if you.
Yeah, I know Val.
Val. Yeah. He just writes on his. He's Chris Aceto's on the chat, and Val goes, Jay Cutler versus Ron Partlow. I don't win this, by the way.
Shocking.
Do I need 2-2 to win? Okay. Jay Cutler versus Ron Partlow. Jay's smarter. Ron is funnier. Jay's richer. Ron is poorer. Jay's bigger. Ron is smaller. Both have equal number of second place
ballots. That's fucking cold. They both have an equal number of second place.
Jay is smarter. Ron is funnier. So I got 1 out of 4.
And you got funny. Thank God I wasn't in there.
Hey, funny gets you places.
But I can't believe see, you know what's funny? Like, if somebody were to ask me, this is a fun fact about Ron. If someone were to say to me, okay, you have to choose someone to tell the story of your life, I would say I want Ron Partlow to tell the story in Morgan Freeman's voice. Because Ron is the greatest storyteller of all time, and even if my life was not that exciting, people would want to fucking listen to Ron say it.
Oh, yeah. I'd sauce it up good, man. There'd be some good stories.
I don't know how it came up someday. Somebody was asking me something. And I was like, Ron is the greatest storyteller of all time.
Oh, that's an honor.
So I'm like, anytime you start a story, I'm like, this is going to be good. Why? Because you wouldn't fucking start it if it wasn't good. You know, it's
funny. I get that from my dad. I remember when I was a kid, you know, my dad would sit there quiet, right? And there'd be, you know, company would be over. There'd be 10 people, some relatives and neighbors or something, and everyone's drinking a rum. You know what I mean? Farm kid, right? And you know, there'd be people laughing and talking, and then an opening would come up, and my dad would step in with a story. And the whole room would go silent and everyone would just listen to him. And it was all about the details. Like he remembered everything. Like he described the guy's belt buckle because it turns out later it's relevant. At the time, yeah, you know, he's just a great storyteller. So I grew up around my dad telling stories like that where you could just like everyone would listen. And then at the end of the story would be like everyone would be like, oh, you know, like it's like a big end to the story. Right. And I always tell people my dad was a craftsman.
Right.
You know, because another person might have told the story like, yeah, you know, I almost went bankrupt once. But, you know, I worked things out with the bank and, you know, we had a good year the next year. And that's a story. But my dad could take that story and make it 5 minutes and make you like, holy fuck, no way. Like, you know what I mean? So,
See, that's exactly how I look at it, though. Like, if you and I were doing something together and then someone said, tell us about that story, I'd be like, tell them the story, Ron. Trust me, you want Ron to tell the story. I was there. It was awesome, but I won't remember it correctly.
Well, I got invited on this podcast. There's this Australian guy that I made friends with on Instagram, and he wants me to go on his podcast. And his podcast is all just stories from different wacky people.
That's fucking gold for you.
Yeah, so I think they're kind of short, but it's just like all we want to do is this crazy story. So they'll have on like an MMA fighter, and they tell like some crazy stories, and that's it. And then he'll have on like a guy that owns you know, a business, and he tells some crazy stories. Like it's just a sort of people.
That's fine. I'm trying to decide. Get this podcast info.
Because... I'm trying to decide what, but I don't know. Like I gave him, I said, I need a topic. Like, you can't just ask me for stories. Like give me a topic and I can figure something out.
Right. You have no idea how much information is in here.
A starting point. Well, you know, you also call me the king of useless facts that no one needs to know.
Yeah.
So, you know,
but they end up in some of these stories sometimes. Fuck. I didn't need to know that.
Well, I'll consider you for one of my music challenges coming up, Dusty, because I'd like to see what albums you would pick.
Nice.
So I will see if, are you even on Facebook?
No. I mean, yes, I have accounts up there, but no.
Yeah. Facebook's kind of like,
I don't think I could access them anymore. I would need someone to break in for me.
I don't do anything on Facebook except push my Instagram to it.
Yeah. See, I got to the point because I too many people speaking that have nothing to say.
Yeah. In fact, I push my Instagram to my like pro page.
Yeah, to your
fan page. My personal page. I don't think I've touched it in years, and all of a sudden I'm on there posting albums now. So
that was like, I thought that guy was gone.
He's dead. Yeah.
Cross him off the list then.
Okay.
Well, good enough, man.
Yeah. So we got, what's it? This was 35, right?
Yeah, and they're still listening. Can't believe it. Thanks, Mom.
Yeah. You know, download, just to give us some numbers, right? Download.
Exactly.
So remember, everybody, I should have said this top of the show. He can cut this and insert it. Remember to like, subscribe, comment, and share. It really helps us out. Think about the algorithms. Think about it. We need to be pushed. So do all that for us. And let us know what you think of the guests, and, you know, give us feedback, because, you know, we try to do the show based on what we hear from you guys. And, you know, so far everyone just tells us how awesome everything is, Dusty. I don't know what to tell you.
That's been awesome. It actually throws me off still, because I a couple weeks ago, I was in a store, and this guy comes up and he beelined it, boom, right to me. And I'm like, hey, first of all,
you're too close.
Yeah. 6 feet. And literally he goes, I'm listening to it right now.
Oh, that's funny.
Stock of shelves, like, or something. Oh, shit, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's fucking awesome. Yeah, it was great, though, because he walked right up and he goes, I'm listening to you guys right now. And it was like a Thursday, and he walked away.
Remember I made that joke about people can't listen to us when they train?
Right.
And then got tagged in a bunch of pictures of people with, like, us on the TV and TV. Home gym. Yep. So that's good. We have to tell some more hardcore stories for them. Get in on the you know, while they're doing their arm days or whatever.
Yeah, they can push it back to their heavy set. They know when to push play for that part.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, buddy.
No doubt.
Fire this up. Have a safe week. Fucking bend that curve. You personally bend it. Fucking get it down.
No doubt.
Everybody at home, just hang tight. Your gyms will hopefully all reopen. So if it's possible for you to support your gym in some way, you know, buy a hat or something. Do something to support your gym, local gyms, and let's get through this.
Yes, sir.
Personally invested in that one.
Yeah, me and too.
Remember the mutant codes.
Yes, Dusty 20.
Big Ron 20. You can use those codes for anything that's not already on sale. Help us out, help you out. There we go. Let's do it. Thanks to Scott McNally. We don't shout him out all the time, but he's sitting online with us all the time, editing everything and making it happen. And we'll see you again next week.
Till next time.
Remember, it's just bodybuilding.